Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 9, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter, August 9, 2020. How long must we suffer before coming to the realization that we can only change our lives by changing our attitudes and making them good? Nature will keep pressuring us, until we realize this. Nature will not allow us to get used to the current existence. After all, we humans are the only harmful element in it. The blows suffered from the coronavirus will ultimately force all humanity to submit and settle down, realizing that this is the handiwork of the upper force that will not allow us to do what we want, neither the right nor the left. We're going to have to submit to the influence of the third force, the Creator. Medium published my new article, Mask Wearing: Freedom versus Love of Others? Lifesaver to some and symbol of tyranny to others, the requirement to wear a mask in public to prevent further contagion of COVID-19 has split societies around the globe. In America, the rebellious and visceral reactions of significant numbers of customers in shops and offices, where wearing a mask is mandatory, have even surprised mental health experts. People's outrage has been expressed in the streets of the US, and also in big cities such as Berlin and London, where thousands protested the measure. But are we clear on what true freedom means? Clarity can only be grasped when we are considerate of one another. Nature is like a loving parent giving his tender child a bitter medicine, while we behave like the child who is kicking and crying and refusing to swallow. Nature has a clear purpose: to bring all of humanity to unity. Thus, we will not be able to escape the plague until we realize that we are in one boat, all of humanity. Despite vast scientific support for the efficacy of mask wearing to prevent a wider spread of the coronavirus pandemic, the debate about their effectiveness refuses to die among those who defy face coverings and social distancing as preventative measures. But there is a deeper reason for their refusal: human nature. People are willing to risk the lives of others and their own to preserve what they consider their personal liberties. They ask themselves, why should an order from the government be imposed to restrict me? What is it that puts a bridle on my mouth like a horse? I am a free person. Why the anti-mask sentiment? As someone who has studied human nature for more than 40 years, I can understand them. They feel masks and the limitations that they symbolize are oppressive and demeaning. Some virus comes and suddenly they are obliged to wear masks, while governments look helpless to handle the situation. Of course they will shout in the streets. Countries that thought they had handled the COVID-19 crisis successfully find themselves falling again. The virus never ends. It simply does not go away, and nothing seems to help. People's defiance against the mask requirement is evidence of our inability, failure, and even indifference to educating our societies correctly. People have not been educated about how to take care of themselves and be considerate of one another. There isn't a government in the world that can set an example to anyone in this, and also not among those in charge of the health system, or follow their own specific and particular interests. We are witnessing a total collapse of the human system. There is basically nothing from among the existing societal structures that we can present to people as an example to be respected and listened to. Everything is corrupt. It is that virus itself which has taken our education into hand. Nature is law-bound to behave in every way to bring man into alignment with its system, to the knowledge of his evil inclination. Until man attains a higher consciousness, nature must show him that the destruction in his life stems from the destruction in his relationship with others. Nature is like a loving parent giving his tender child a bitter medicine, while we behave like the child who is kicking and crying and refusing to swallow. Nature has a clear purpose: to bring all of humanity to unity. Thus, we will not be able to escape the plague until we realize that we are in one boat, all of humanity. We influence and depend on one another. Therefore, Each must act accordingly by developing the conviction and intention to avoid transmitting the virus and harming others. When we view our situation from this perspective, we will not view the mandatory measures like mask wearing as coercion but as a gesture of love and care for others, implemented with a blessing. The world is circular and functions in that same fashion, as a unit. In the current state, that circle is being hit by crises from every direction. So, what to do? We must first realize that we are immersed in an interrelated system of connections. This means that every single action will affect the whole. Therefore, the only way to overcome the state of crisis is to think and behave as one, in mutual responsibility. That is our true freedom of choice. Michael Leitman, on Quora, why do other people's opinions matter to you? It has been shown in various social psychology experiments, and cover lists have long described it as a fundamental aspect of our lives, that others' opinions are important to us, even if we fail to acknowledge that it is the case. There is a paradox here, according to our egoistic human nature, which prioritizes personal benefit over all else. We consider nobody but ourselves. Why, then, do we care about what others think and say? Nature has set us up in such a way so that we will enter into a reciprocal relationship with our surrounding society and world. If other people's opinions would not matter to us, then we would not be able to reach our full human potential. That is, we would not be able to change ourselves, expanding our perception and sensation in order to realize our interconnectedness and interdependence with the single system of nature, including us, humans as its integral parts. Today, as we face a world closing in on us, with tightening ecological, economic and social conditions, the change to a more positively connected human consciousness is of primal importance. By recognizing the vast extent to which others' opinions influence us, we can make wiser choices regarding our surrounding society, choosing the people we surround ourselves with, that is, according to shared goals, needs and values, and also the kind of influence we input into this network and impart onto others. Ultimately, the fullest realization of our mutual influence leads us to feel a need for mutual responsibility, consideration, compromise, support, encouragement and cooperation. In other words, if we were to understand the full extent of our influence on each other, we would feel necessitated to think and act positively toward one another, as it would secure our harmonious coexistence. Any deviation to a negative hate-driven thought or act would be felt as harmful to the entire system we share, and thus also harmful to ourselves. We would then feel a need to build a new enveloping social atmosphere that supports, educates and encourages everyone's development to realize the change in human connections and consciousness positively. The Times of Israel published my new article From Political Bickering to a Policy of Unity. A few years ago, an Israeli TV documentary told the story of a small village in Israel that had a population of 120 families, and 6 shuls. Why 6 shuls if there are only 120 families? Because the families, all of whom from the same cultural background and daven the same way, can't stand each other. When the interviewer asked a resident if, having so few people, it occasionally happens that there aren't even 10 people at the shul, the minimum number for service, to conduct a proper service, the man admitted that it happens. And what do you do then? Asked the interviewer. I drive to the nearby settlement and daven there, said the man. Why go to another settlement to daven, who use different prayer books and songs than the ones you're used to, if you have 5 shuls right here in your own village to pick from, and that daven exactly like you do? Asked the interviewer. I won't go in any of them, said the man resolutely. A few days ago, a famous Arab-Israeli woman was interviewed on Israel TV and told an interesting story. She was invited to partake in a panel of several people at a Jewish town to discuss hatred and political tensions. The timing for the discussion was perfect since it was the 9th of Av, the date when the temple was ruined 2,000 years ago because Jews hated their own brethren. At the height of the debate, she finally said to her hosts, "You hate each other. Jews are hating Jews. You are discussing the ruin of the temple on the 9th of Av, and still a Jew hates a Jew and wishes him death." Reference to online death threats and death wishes to Israeli politicians. "If you hate each other, how will you love me? Where they always been a nation of many views. And if you look at our history, you'll find that when we succeeded in maintaining unity above differences, we thrived, and when we let the differences become unbridled hatred, we suffered. Today's Israel is at a crossroads. The differences among the various factions of the nation are gaining traction, and voices of unity are hardly heard. As always, divergences are springboard for growth, but only if we unite above it. It is always a thin line to walk, and if we're unaware of it, we'll trip, and the very existence of Israel will be at risk. Our motto has always been that hate stirs strife, and love will cover all the hatred," Proverbs 10:12. It is not an easy model to follow, but today we have no choice. Our international status will continue to deteriorate and our internal strength will continue to decline until we realize we have no other choice but to choose unity above all differences. If we stall, the world will decide that the League of Nations declaration of a Jewish state in 1947 was a mistake. If we hurry and unite, the world will understand why Israel attracts so much attention, since it was meant to show how opposites can unite and cover their hate with love. What we need right now is to shift from political bickering to a policy of unity among all factions. This is our most urgent need, especially today when hatred scares us, even more than COVID, and is certainly more dangerous. Disconnection of Communities, Part 5. The Biggest Anti-Semites. Question: during the Age of Enlightenment, those Jewish people who assimilated among other peoples became atheists or Christians and began to hate Jews who kept up the traditions even more. This hatred still exists in the state of Israel and it is growing. How is the assimilation and internal hatred of Jews connected with unreasonable hatred? Answer: a person who wants to break himself away from his root, but realizes that he cannot do it, because, obviously, there are inner forces of nature that will not allow him to, begins to hate himself, the people, the spiritual principle, the Creator. But despite the fact that he would like to completely break himself away from this and to become an ordinary German, Frenchman, etc., he cannot succeed. It arises such hate in him for the people, for himself, for his root, from which he healed. This is why he becomes the biggest anti-Semite. Remark: unreasonable hatred is a state when a person hates working without payment. We cannot do an action without receiving payment for it, fuel, benefit for ourselves. This is our nature. We hate the quality itself for no reason. This quality is bestowal, love, unity. That is, we unconsciously hate those people in whom this quality appears. My comment: this is why Jewish people who are engaged in various kinds of sciences, art, and social movements propagandize anti-Semitism there. Question: what is to be done with these contradictions? The war between the Jews continues. There are reformists, ultra-Orthodox, atheists, communists, etc. Answer: everyone is ready to destroy the other one. More than all the anti-Semites put together, according to Kabbalah, this is normal because Jews have the biggest egoism. Remark: but on the other hand, you say that there must be some kind of higher idea above all this, which will unite them. My comment: to do this, they should turn to Kabbalah, or Kabbalah should turn to them. For more on this topic, read my books like A Bundle of Reeds, Why Unity and Mutual Guarantee Are Today's Call of the Hour, and The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism, Historical Facts on Anti-Semitism as a Reflection of Jewish Social Discord. From CAB-TV's Systematic Analysis of the Development of the People of Israel, August 12, 2019. New Life 1257. How Ideas Are Spread.
Hello to all of you, thank you for joining us. This is our New Life series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello to you, Dr. Lightman. Hello to everyone. Hello, Tal Mendelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. This is show number 1257, and we would like to learn from Dr. Lightman how ideas develop, how our cultural evolution develops. So please, Tal. Yes, so today we're advancing towards, we're talking about evolutionary biology. It studies how people developed, and in around the 70s, a new theory developed where they say that this, in addition to our genes that want to propagate from generation to generation, our culture, these bits of information they call memes, like genes but memes, they develop. It's like they're kind of virus. They're informational units where an informational unit wants to duplicate itself and to sort of infect other people in a way, what they call it. So people convince each other, they have ideas, and here the evolutionary biologists say that the ideas themselves, like a virus, the virus are interested in moving to the carriers, who are like carriers of thought viruses, and these viruses jump from person to person and develop and spread through humanity. Dr. Lightman, what forces them to do that, compels them? They say that it has an inner program in itself, like viruses develop and propagate biologically. The ideas have a desire to survive. Oh, and so this is the desire in each individual, these viruses, or is there a general program that just makes it jump between people? And well, as they say, it's like Darwin's natural selection. So in this way also the culture develops. So I want to ask you, what is this idea where an idea is a life of its own, it propagates like a virus? How can that be? Dr. Lightman, but other information doesn't pass. Other information does pass through ideas, and ideas don't. These are just little particles of knowledge. Yes, they're listed, they're written somewhere, registered, and so they can pass from place to place. Perhaps we cannot identify the carrier, the informational bit, how it passes from one to another, how thoughts pass from one to another, desires. We say that people who live close to each other, their internality somehow passes from one to the other. How? Through what? But we see that this is how it happens. Also, well, that's the question. Is an idea truly like a virus with its own inner program, seeking to jump from person to person on its own? Dr. Lightman, yes, of course. The whole of nature is simply desire. Desire. And then this desire just passes from one person to another. It can infect many people, like a virus. A virus from one person can infect 1,000 people, and nothing will happen to the virus itself. Right? It replicates. So that means that there are ideas in humanity that exist because they succeeded in infecting many people. Dr. Lightman, yes? So what makes an idea successful in infecting many people as opposed to ideas which don't succeed? Dr. Lightman, if it fulfills the desires of each one, then of course they'll be happy to be infected by it. Okay, so if there's an idea that makes me feel good, then you buy it, as we say, you even attract it, draw it to yourself, absorb it. And you said that perhaps there is this program that as these viruses propagate, it's the source of Lightman. The source is my desire to enjoy my life, my existence. And that awakens me to try and find everywhere I can means, ways to enjoy, to gain more. Okay, so we are people, we have genes that we received from previous generations, we didn't choose. And now we see that we have these memes, ideas, cultural ideas that perhaps we received from the environment also. And Dr. Lightman, the memes and the genes, it's the same thing. These are information particles that we want to apply in various ways because we are simply the will to receive. And they control us, would you say? Lightman, of course, because I want nothing but joy, but to enjoy. And these things come to me and I feel that I can derive enjoyment from them. So what happens when I talk to someone else? Let's say me and Owen have a discussion, and now he tells me his thoughts, opinions. Dr. Lightman, so your egoistic will to receive checks, what can I receive from him to fulfill myself a bit more, to succeed a bit more? That's what you absorb. Other things you do not absorb. So he won't necessarily infect me with all his thoughts and opinions. Dr. Lightman, no, you have to be Emmy to absorb these things. Oh, and so if I understand the mechanism correctly, in each person there is this inner engine that you call the desire to enjoy. He wants to enjoy. Every creature wants to enjoy. Now, besides for that, person has two extra informational charges, let's call them loads. His genes and his ideas, his values, his memes. So I have this basic engine, the will to enjoy. It has memes and genes at its disposal. And what now? Does it keep scanning? What's going on now? Dr. Lightman, I don't know. Genes, memes, this is all a result of your partial perception, all these ideas. I know that the will to receive looks for places from which it can receive information, data to enjoy. And if it stumbles onto a new idea, then it absorbs it. Now it enters into contact with the carrier of it, that person, and it wants to receive this idea from him. And it judges it from the inner, using the inner engine of the will to receive. Dr. Lightman, yes, how else? So if I told you now about a new idea, with what tools, means would you weigh it, Dr. Lightman? I would measure to see if I can carry it, take it to myself in order to fulfill myself with pleasure. So the boss here, let's call it, in any process of acquiring and disseminating ideas, it's simply a person's desire to enjoy life more. Dr. Lightman, yes. And so you said, Owen, and you said a nice sentence there, what ideas propagate? Those who fulfill the desires of humankind. Is nature interested in us spreading these conceptions, ideas? Dr. Lightman, yes, it's interested in us connecting together and having ideas dispersed as much as possible. Owen, why? Dr. Lightman, because by that we reach a single integral system. But these ideas can be true and good or also false and then destructive. So how does nature govern it in such a way where we propagate the best ideas? Dr. Lightman, it's the way our ego governs us. We've seen over history that many ideas caught on. For example, the idea of divinity, right? Godhood, people propagate that idea, and it's caught on. Dr. Lightman, because it's a global idea. It talks about the whole of nature, the whole of life, and so it includes everyone in it. Okay, and it's passed from generation to generation. There's something here that gives a person some, Dr. Lightman, grasp on his existence. Yes, and this is one of the more successful memes. Now, also the laws of Judaism, Jewish morality, which we see was something very powerful and keeps on surviving. Why do you think that this survived to this day? Because it's written, because it was, what? Preserved? Dr. Lightman. Okay, look, what I say perhaps won't be so... you won't accept it so much, but it's because there is an upper system. That's it. An upper plan requiring this to happen. And humanity as a whole needs to take on this attitude to life, to nature, to itself, as it is written in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Now, if we have this understanding that we're constantly being infected by ideas, emotions as well, constantly affecting, influencing each other, what do we need to do with that understanding, with that knowledge, Dr. Lightman, to apply it, to reach a state of one man in one heart, all of Israel are friends, the whole world needs to be connected to that, such that we establish a mechanism where we all enter the round nature. One of the things I read which were interesting is that the researcher who wrote this theory, he says that he identifies that most of these ideas and memes and everything, it was all very selfish, very egoistic. The altruistic idea, he says, is something that doesn't exist in our world. It exists to turn us all into a circle, to all belong to the integral nature. That will be altruistic, because then I don't say who's greater, who's lesser. There's no division to levels, pyramids, boxes, and so on. Rather, everyone are equal as one man in one heart, included together. And you would say that this is an idea that spreads easily or has difficulty spreading in humanity? Dr. Lightman, it's anti-egoistic, so it's difficult for it to spread. Oh, and why? Because then, Dr. Lightman, because I have to accept others the way I accept myself and to think of others the way I think of myself, not to think of them in that they're any less than me. Oh, and so this idea repels a person? Then if so, it cannot spread, because you said that only ideas that fulfill people's desires spread. Dr. Lightman, correct. Oh, and so it follows that you're talking about, can we call it the integral idea? Dr. Lightman, yes, it's the integral idea, it's the true idea, but it's not acceptable to people. So the integral idea, if it were to spread, let's skip over the problem for a second. If the integral idea would spread, how would our world look? Dr. Lightman, our world will seem round. Dr. Lightman, Owen, what does it mean, a round world? Dr. Lightman, where we're all equals, we're all interconnected, because no one is radically different than another. We all enter such a system, which we see as a circular, round system. And then, we're simply there as one man in one heart. Oh, the idea of being equal, I don't want to be the equal of others, I want to be greater than others. So clearly, the idea of being equal, that won't catch on with me. If someone tells me, people who think like you, tell me, look, we have an idea, if people are equals, it will be good. I don't want to be equal, I want to be number one. So the idea sitting in my head now is different to the idea that you tell me, listen, go in that direction. So how can that idea propagate? It won't. Dr. Lightman, well, let's say that you're facing very great problems, God forbid, and you see that it's either you enter into an integral connection with others, or you are going into great, great troubles. So you weigh that information, because you're just the will to enjoy. is it better for me to do this or do that? Oh, and if I asked you, when you look at today's world, what idea rules the world today? Dr. Leitman, the capitalistic idea, the more I profit, exploit others, leave them behind, and I advance, and better if I'm the only one there who has control, wealth, and everything, yeah, that's the idea. Oh, and what idea should rule the world tomorrow if we're more developed, evolutionarily speaking? Dr. Leitman, it's such that we see that nature is integral, bound, global, and we need to integrate into that nature and to be equals according to the system. Now, we see that there are people in the world today who are trendsetters. For example, in fashion, everything that comes out of Italy, people copy regardless of how ridiculous it may be, and so on. So who is actually giving birth to these ideas, begetting them in our world? Dr. Leitman, I cannot say. As far as I see it, it comes from the inner system of nature. And people don't understand where it comes from, but they absorb it, of course, with no connection to things, ideas such as fashion or something else. I'm talking about human development, the development of human society. It comes from nature. Oh, and what do you mean? Nature plants ideas in our minds? Dr. Leitman, of course. Who are we if not creatures that grew from out of nature? What were you born of? Not nature? Oh, and I was born of my father and mother. From there I received my specific genetic information. I assume that the education I received, the environment in which I grew, shaped my perception. It gave me some values, culture, etc. I think it's a combination between inherent things and the factors and things that I gained from my environment. So you add a new aspect to it. You say that nature plants within the minds of a person, Dr. Leitman. No, I don't add another aspect here. There is only one aspect. Nature governs everything, does everything, and that's how it created, manufactured you. Oh, and okay, so if I return to what we talked about a few minutes ago, I asked, which ideas rule the world? And you said it's a capitalistic idea. If I'll be number one, I'll gain, I'll profit more than everyone, I'll feel the best. So where did this idea come to humanity? From nature as well? Dr. Leitman, from the ego that nature developed within the person. You have the inanimate, animate and speaking degrees. In addition to that, you have the degree of the speaking, which is ruled by the ego. So is it correct to say that nature planted this capitalistic idea within the person's nature? Development, yes. Oh, and the next idea you said is the integral reason. Is that the next degree? If so, nature should plant it in people as well. Why doesn't it do it? Dr. Leitman, because people have to achieve this on their own. Oh, and what do you mean? Why? Dr. Leitman, because otherwise I'll remain as a beast. Not a human being, but a beast. There are 4 degrees to nature. The inanimate, the animate, the vegetative, and the speaking. The inanimate, vegetative, and animate are parts of nature, and you don't ask them any questions. They don't ask any questions. The degree of speaking is the degree of mankind. It emerges from the degree of the animate, the living animals. It remains an animal, but it determines on its own the way it wants to live. It's an animal, but in terms of the way it relates to nature, a person relates to nature, he determines what I want to be. I want to be this or that. There is free choice here that the person is given in terms of how to develop, how to be, how to live. And that is what a person receives. He receives freedom of choice, and he's in that. And if you reach a state where we choose, then we will be human beings. And then to the extent that we can choose the next degree to be integrally interconnected, we will be human beings. Otherwise, everyone are as beasts. They never emerge from the degree of the animates. Owen, what is there to the integral idea that jump-starts a person, makes him jump to a new degree of evolution? What is there in the integral idea that elevates a person, really? Dr. Lightman, the integral idea ties together all the laws of nature, all the degrees of nature, to their spiritual inner roots, the inner force of nature. Owen, and that inner force, is it tied to the thoughts that people have in their minds, the ideas they have in their minds? Dr. Lightman, yes, everything stems from that. From that upper force, we have all our ideas, desires, our fate, everything. Owen, you just threw the term, the upper force, as an idea into this. If we look at humanity, over history, one of the ideas that caught on best is the idea of God. God is a great idea. Really caught on. Billions connect to that idea. Dr. Lightman, yes. Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, and now you said the upper force in nature. Dr. Lightman, yeah, God, call it nature, the upper force. It doesn't matter. It's the upper governance, the upper force that rules over nature, and he is the first. He created nature, established nature and all its degrees. Oh, and so the integral idea, is it religious in essence? Dr. Lightman, I don't know what religious means. Oh, and God is a religious idea? Dr. Lightman, I don't know what you mean by religious. Oh, and people say that people invented God to serve their own interests. So I had some interests, I invented God, and it serves me in my business, let's say. But let's put that off to one side. Why? It's an idea. So when I hear from you that the integral idea is connected to the upper force of nature, that's why I'm asking, is the integral idea religious or not religious? Dr. Lightman, I don't know what you mean by religious. It exists in nature, the integral idea, because the whole of nature is an integral system. That's it. I relate to this in a systematic manner. Nature as a whole is integral. Just some ball that everything exists inside of, and everything is interconnected. And the more we study the laws of nature and astronomy and geology, whatever you want, we see that everything is interconnected integrally. So I say that this integral law, call it God, call it religious, I don't read it that way. I say that this is the upper force which includes everything. So if this is the upper force, this is nature, why is humanity so full of opposite ideas? Dr. Lightman, in order to study, to explore it, and to reach the state where you see that this is the only idea, we always reach some decision from the opposite form. And that's why we are built in an egoistic way, which is completely contradictory to this divine idea, the unique divine. But all of this comes specifically in order to come to know him. Owen, so nature implanted the egoistic capitalistic idea in people's mind, so that from there people will develop consciousness of an idea which is the exact opposite. Yes. Okay, so I want to ask, in our world today we reach a state where we're at a dead end, we don't know how to deal with the crisis. Dr. Lightman, excellent. It's an excellent time that we live in. Out of this mess in which we live, we don't know where our left is, where the right is. This is the time to discover the power of unity. And what will allow us to escape from all the egoistic ideas that rule our world today and find new idea? How will we run from it? Owen, Dr. Lightman, suffering. Owen, do you have something to suggest which is less painful? Dr. Lightman, coronavirus, why not? Owen, no, you say that ideas develop because the person suffers. And Dr. Lightman, of course, the person is egoistic. Without pain, he won't move. Oh, and what does the wisdom of Kabbalah give us here? Dr. Lightman will shorten the path. Of course, it explains to us what we need to do in order to discover the altruistic idea, to discover the one, there's no one besides him, that force, the upper force. If we constantly infect each other with ideas, thoughts, and we also infect each other with good ideas, with the integral idea, Dr. Lightman, of course, what you're hearing now, go tell to others. Do you think that when individuals spread this idea, it can propagate? Dr. Lightman, yes. And for a person to connect to that idea, he needs to detach from other ideas. Where Dr. Lightman, gradually he will see, yes or no. It all depends on the individual. Oh, and so, okay, so some practical advice. If I want the integral idea to pass from my head to the head of someone else, even to enter a person's heart, what do I need to do beyond just telling him about it? What kind of inner strength do I need? You know, it's like when you send a rocket to space. You need a lot of power for it to reach orbit. So what kind of power do I need in order to launch this idea so that it's absorbed? Dr. Lightman, you need to build an environment and network of people, and to try with that person that you want to give this idea to, you need to try to catch him with this net. Oh, and what is the net built from? Dr. Lightman, people who have the same idea. Oh, and this gives it power? Dr. Lightman, of course, it captures the person, captivates him, and he gets ideas from there. Oh, and so we are out of time. One last question. What kind of idea would you want to spread to the hearts and minds of people in the world today? Dr. Lightman, that everything comes from an integral force, and the more we connect and affiliate ourselves with that integral force, we will succeed. Oh, and amen and amen. Thank you, Dr. Lightman and Tal, for being with us. New life learning to live well. All the best. Goodbye.
Integral dependence is a natural manifestation of nature. Question. On one hand, you say that there is a certain space, nature, which influences us, and is increasing the awareness that it is time for us to unite. But it is obvious that until there is a leader, and not one person, but maybe 100, 1,000 leaders involved in unification, this will not happen. Are such leaders emerging? Are they needed? Answer, I think that today there are many of them in our world. But they should not be leaders of the type we have seen in history. These are just people who realized that the integral dependence of mankind on each other is a natural manifestation of our nature, and we have come to this. Selfishness grew individually until it became as global as it is today. This is manifested in science and technology, in production and world trade, which also reveal the integrity of the world. But this is not enough, since it is only an opening of world egoism. Now we will gradually see that the world must be bound by completely different kinds of forces. The fact is that we will still not be able to continue to exploit the land, water, and air as we did before. Nature will no longer allow us to do this. Try to get out of a pandemic and you will see how difficult it is. You will not be able to restore old ties, old enterprises. You will have no option to restore the old interactions. We will see this in the near future. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 24, 2020. How to use the full potential of your brain. Question. It is said that a person uses only about 5% of the potential on one's brain. Can we assume that this is enough to handle our individual animal needs? And if you work for the whole society, will the rest of the 95% will be opened up? Answer: to work for the society means to rise above your egoism, to take upon yourself the goals which are useful for the whole society, for its ultimate goal, for it to become integral, global. When society rises above its egoism and works only in an altruistic way, you will be able to use much more than 5% of your potential. Question: in principle, if I need to solve a small personal problem on my own, the minimal potential is enough. But if it is necessary to solve the problem of a pandemic, for example, and groups of scientists are trying to find a vaccine against the virus, then together can they connect to some kind of global mind and solve this issue? Answer: no. I don't think it is possible, because all of them are egoists and everyone works for his own sake. To do this, they need to rise above themselves, which means to love each other, to include one inside the other. Question: how can we use our potential if we have a large one, but only use 5%? Answer: to do that, we need to rise above our egoistic nature, in which we were born, and acquire another altruistic nature: love your neighbor as yourself. Then you will be able to unite with others into one single whole, into one mind, into one desire. All of your internal data will become common, and everyone will be working for the benefit of all. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, May 7, 2020. Diagnosis for Humanity. Question: modern science has developed several conceptual positions in relation to crises. Crisis is considered as a natural state of development of any system. Crisis is always characterized by the growth of egoism. Crisis appears as a unity of two processes. It is always both destruction and creation together. Crisis cannot be considered as a purely negative phenomenon. Crises are progressive, even if they are painful. It is said that a correct diagnosis is half the success in treatment. What should a person realize? What diagnosis should each of us make for ourselves? Answer: to start with, we must inform humanity that we all exist in our egoistic nature, and therefore, we must understand that we will have to change it. All of nature, except humans, is integral and even altruistic. In our world, inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature are integral. A human, however, falls out of it because of his egoism and does not obey anyone or anything. The main thing for him is that everything must be good for him, even if it is to the detriment of others. This state exists from the side of nature as a given, in order for us to feel the depravity of our perception and the dead end in our development. At the moment, we have come, and this is quite obvious by our development, to a state where we begin to destroy our small planet. It cannot endure us any longer. Therefore, we have very serious problems. Nature is rebelling against us, and begins to very cruelly press us down and push us, trying to force us to change. We do not understand its actions, do not take them personally, and we continue on our path of vanity. Question: who are we? Answer: we are very limited two-legged mammals. We are so limited that we are worse than animals. After all, even the small amount of knowledge and opportunities that we have, we use to the detriment of ourselves and the surrounding nature. Comment: it seems to me that today millions of people have come to the diagnosis: the egoistic nature of humans is to blame for the fact that we destroy the surrounding nature. My response: so what if they understand? They understand and continue. Comment: but many are already aware of the harmfulness of their behavior and are fighting against it, not just a few philosophers, but millions of people and many different organizations. My response: these organizations are the most egoistic ones. They fight until somebody buys them, and then they gradually fall silent. Maybe later they talk about it a little somewhere and somehow, but at the same time they understand that they must coexist with the mighty of this world, and therefore everything continues. Of course, there are those who continue to object, but they are silenced, and they cannot be published anywhere or act. At this point, everything quiets down. After all, we see how we still go on the egoistic path, violating nature by all possible methods. This suggests that people must change. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, May 7, 2020.